Amen. Oh, how he loves you and me. Such a precious song. I have many times found it interesting how God seems to direct the first hour to correlate with what he put on my heart without me even thinking or looking to see what we were going to be doing in Bible study or Sunday school time. Happens so many times that it can't be coincidence. Man, there's been times I've called it, said that Uncle or that Brother Aaron stole my stole part of my sermon. But this morning it was just interesting as we got into the passage, because when we read through it to begin with, it didn't even register until we started talking about it. And all of a sudden I'm like, boy, I better not say too much, or I'm going to end up saying everything that I was planning to say from the pulpit this morning. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the sermon. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your goodness, Lord, for your overruling and directing in all the events of our lives, Lord, even the little things that seem insignificant at the moment. But Lord, I just thank you for your word that we have available to us, that we have to open, to look forward and look into it and understand your heart, your desire for us. Father, I pray that this morning our hearts would be tuned to hear from our Father, hear from your heart, Lord, that we might hear from God himself. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been reading in Jeremiah, taking my time working through the Old Testament, and I came across a very oft-quoted, very well-known verse, but I noticed the context of it, and the context adds a whole lot of depth and meaning many times to what we like to impose on different individual scriptures or passages. And I want to take a look at that this morning because I think there's a lot we can glean from it that will help us in our walk with God. I'm going to start this morning in Jeremiah chapter 29. And Jeremiah here is speaking to those who have already been carried away to Babylon in the fall of Jerusalem. They've already been taken away. All up until this point, they've been confident that nobody's going to overcome them. Now at this point, even though they've been carried away to Babylon, it sounds like there's other false prophets who are saying, oh, no, you know, don't get comfortable, don't settle in. You know, it's gonna turn around any day now, any second now, it's gonna turn around. And Jeremiah, speaking here in Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning with verse 4, he says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, the dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." So he said, settle in. Settle in. You're going to be there a while. Settle in. This isn't a message of discouragement. This isn't a message they're supposed to take as just throw in the towel and give up. No, but realize you're going to be there a while. Settle in, build houses, plant gardens, let your life proceed on normally. Don't be sitting there going, well, let's wait. We're going to have, you know, my daughter wants to get married, but we're going to wait until we get back. We're going to have the celebration in Jerusalem. We're going to wait until we get back there. Or, oh no, son, no, don't go propose to that girl that you love. Let's wait till we get back to Jerusalem. Let's just wait. This is just, God says, no, this is where you are now. For this period of time, this is where you are. Settle in. Build houses. And even goes further than that, because they've been overcome by enemies and they've been hauled off to Babylon. And he says specifically, hey, pray for and seek for the peace of the city where you live. Look out for the good of the country that you're now in, the city that you're now in, even though you're taken there as prisoners, even though you've been uprooted and displaced and moved over here to Babylon and you're dispersed out in the different Babylonian cities. Okay, this is home now. Settle in and try to make peace with your neighbors around you. Pray for the peace of the city you're in. Seek the peace of the city you're in. Try to make it as good as you can. Try to make this home. That's a hard message for them to hear when they're, he says, causing themselves to dream dreams that, oh no, no, any day now we're going to go back home. Any day now we're going to go back to Jerusalem. We're going to go back to Israel. And of course, every one of their hearts, that's what they wanted. That's what they desired. God doesn't say you can't want that. You can't desire that. But he does say, hey, it's not happening at this time. Settle in and try to watch out for those around you. Try to pursue the peace of the town you're living in. Build a house. Plant a garden. Go on with life. And he says, he goes on here, he says in verse 10, he says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. So there's a good word I've promised. I'm not just going to leave you there forever, but it's not going to happen right now. Settle in. It's going to take 70 years. After 70 years, then I will perform what I've promised. I will perform the good word, the promises that I've made to you to bring you again to Israel, to bring you again to Jerusalem, to reestablish you as a nation in your own country. It's going to happen. You just have to be patient. He says, I will accomplish the good work. I will perform the good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And here we find this verse that so often gets quoted on its own. He says in verse 11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. It's going to happen. I have promised it. But it's interesting that it's this context that we find this verse 11 that's so often quoted. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I don't want to detract in any way from the specialness of this promise in the way that so many believers have felt it ministering confidence and peace to their hearts and their souls in knowing that God has their best interest at heart. But it's interesting to note the context. And honestly, it's more special when you realize And when you think about who this is that God's saying this to and the history that exists between them and God, okay, from the very beginning, the Israelites are stubborn. The Israelites are not, as a general rule, very good at obeying and following God. They're not a nation full of people whose only desire is to love God and to serve Him. That's not been their history. In fact, they've strayed so far for so long that God finally said, I'm not going to withhold my punishment any longer. I'm going to have to punish you. You have pushed and pushed and tried. And one point He says, even if Job and Daniel, or Samuel, if Job and Samuel were here and prayed for these people, I still would have to bring upon them the punishment that is coming, because they have just pushed it that far. Okay, we see Josiah stand up in this late hour, and he's a godly, godly man, and God gives a reprieve, not of the punishment, but just a lengthening of the time until it happens, because they have pushed it so far, and He knows their heart so well, is so not to follow Him, that even though now that there's a good king sitting on the throne, temporarily, they appear to be very interested and very committed to the things of God, yet they're not. They are always wandering off. They're always backsliding. They're always finding all these false gods of the nations around them and building altars in the high places, building temples, all these different things. It's all through the history of the children of Israel. Sometimes it's almost depressing to read through the history of the children of Israel, because it is just so, just so terrible how rebellious and stiff-necked they are. And yet, looking at it and realizing, man, I can't really be too hard on them. I'm that way myself. I'm that way myself. My heart's always wandering off in the wrong way too. And but for the grace of God, I would be in a very similar state. And I pray and I hope that we're all learning and growing in obedience and learning and growing in our walk with God, that we are not continuing to just go, oh, well, that's just the way life is, or, oh, well, I can't do any better than that or anything like that, but that we are desiring and striving to grow in maturity and to grow towards what God desires. What does He say? He says, be perfect, even as God in heaven is perfect. That's really, 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 really perfect. And that's not possible in fullness this side of glory, but that's the goal. And as much as we understand and we realize, I'm not going to be able to fully attain that this side of glory, yet our every effort ought to be focused on attaining that. Our every effort ought to be striving for that level of righteousness, that level of perfection, that level of maturity. And we will, if we have that heart, we will grow and we will change and we will become more like Christ, even though we're still earthen vessels, even though we're still human, even though we still fall and we still stumble. Yet, if my heart is, God, I want to be like You, it will drive me and cause me to grow more and more like Him, though still imperfect. And so, to me, to look and to realize this promise is made to these people who aren't perfect, who aren't really committed as a whole for a lot of their lives, for a lot of their history, and yet God says to them, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. To these backsliding, hard-hearted, hard-headed people, God says, I have good plans and good desires that I want to bring to your life. Wow, what a loving God we serve. What a merciful Father who would look down at these people who have again and again and again and again trampled over his commands, trampled over his holy things, trampled over his name and his goodness, and to say, hey, you might not really fully comprehend, but I know how I feel about you, and it's good. I know the thoughts I think toward you, and they're really good thoughts. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you through to fulfillment, to bring you through to an expected end, to something that's good. I know what I've promised, and I'm going to bring it about, even though you are the way that you are, even though I know who you are. That doesn't cause me to simply say, you know, I'm done with you, and throw you away. Even in spite of that, my thoughts towards you, when I think of you, says God, I think of you with good thoughts. I think of you with love. I think of you with compassion. I think of you as where I'm going to bring you to and the expected end that I'm going to bring you to. I remember reading in Hinds Feet on High Places when the shepherd says, you're so beautiful. And she's like, me? And he says, I don't see you as you are right now. I see you as who I'm going to make you. And God says, I'm looking at you, and my thoughts towards you, they're good thoughts. They're thoughts of peace. They're thoughts of bringing you to maturity, of bringing you to good things, to fulfilling my promises and my good word to you. And it's coming. But you have to be patient. Here's the thing. After 70 years, I will perform my good words towards you. After 70 years. Now, he goes on here, we already read it, but he says, then shall ye call on me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me with all your heart. Do they have to wait 70 years for that? No, absolutely not. What about if they seek him with their whole heart now? Can they go back home? No, it's 70 years. You're going to be here for 70 years, but you can be found of me. If you will seek me with your whole heart, you can walk with me. You can be blessed in your love and obedience and your lives. Look at Daniel. Daniel didn't even return to Jerusalem after the 70 years. Daniel, as far as we have any record of, spent the entire rest of his life in Babylon. But Daniel had this closeness with God because Daniel sought for him with his whole heart. Daniel found him to be sweet, to be precious, to be all that he could desire. Daniel found love in God Almighty. Daniel found a closeness, a friendship. Daniel found a life, a really abundant, fulfilling life, even in that place. So it's not that you can't find me if you search for me before 70 years is up, but as a nation, you're not going to be returned. These promises that are made to your nation, that's not going to happen until it's my time. But we see Daniel walking with God all through that time. We see his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, walking with God. We see Nehemiah walking with God. His life is one of closeness to God. He's blessed. He knows God's goodness. We see Ezra, who God is communicating with Ezra, even there in Babylon and working and moving. We see Esther, as God moves mightily in her life and shows forth his glory in her and shows his goodness and his love to her. We see Mordecai as God moves mightily on his behalf. We see all these individuals who themselves sought after God. And even though the nation was not going to be returned to Israel for 70 years, that was God's timing. But yet, these people's lives could be very fulfilled, could be very happy because they said, hey, I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to embrace this time that I'm in. I'm going to embrace that God knows what he's doing. He knows the thoughts he has towards me. They're good thoughts. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that he is good. I'm going to believe that he loves me. I'm going to believe that he is who he says he is. And what does he say? He says, to give you an expected end. Not an expected intermediary time necessarily. You're going to have difficulties and hardships through your life, but I know where I'm working you towards. I know where we're going to end up, and it's good. But all the steps along the way aren't necessarily going to feel good. All the steps along the way aren't necessarily going to be to your liking or to your taste or to your preference, but I know the path I'm taking you down, and he says, to give you a good end. We're working towards that. People so many times like to quote this passage, this verse, in a way that would imply, like, think happy thoughts about right now. It's going to be easy. It's going to be peaceful. It's going to be good times right now. God's thinking good thoughts towards you. Yeah, that's absolutely true. That doesn't mean your lot's going to get easier in the ways that you want it to get easier. It may take 70 years before you see the fulfillment of what your heart is longing and desiring for. That doesn't mean God doesn't love you. That doesn't mean God doesn't have good thoughts towards you and a good end that he's bringing you towards. It just means it's not time yet. And you have to endure and be patient and be long-suffering and stand firm. It can definitely have an application or an implication of right now, God blessing you with things that he knows what you need. There's truth in that. But in this context, and in many cases, he's not specifically talking about right now. He's talking about an expected end. He's talking about you're going to be there for 70 years. Settle in. Get comfortable. Accept what I've brought your way. And trust me that I know what I'm doing. Trust me that I don't hate you, that I have good thoughts and plans for you, and that I'm working you towards that. It can be really, really hard for us to accept when we feel like we're not getting an answer to our prayers. It can be even more hard when we get a no from God about something we really care about. But I think one of the hardest things to accept and to handle and to deal with is when there is a yes, but not yet. It's a yes that's delayed. It's a yes, I will bring that to pass, but not yet. The time's not now. I will perform my good word to you. I will restore you to Jerusalem. I will bring you back to your home country, but not for 70 years. And you can cry and plead and beg and stomp your feet all you want, but it's not going to happen till it's my timing. But the promise, the answer is yes. Yes, I will restore you to your country. Yes, I will restore, at least in a measure, the glory of the nation of Israel. Yes, I have great plans for you, and I will bring you to your expected end. You expect to return, and you will, but it's not now. The hardest answer to get is a delayed yes. And I've titled this message, The Patience of Yes. The Patience of Yes. Because it takes patience to say, I'm waiting to hear from God. I'm waiting for an answer. It takes another kind of patience to say, okay, God, you know best, even though you said no and I really, really want it. You said no, and I'm choosing to accept that because I know that you know what's best. But there's a whole other kind of patience to the yes. Your answer to your prayer is yes, but not now. The Christian life is a life of patience. James says, let patience have her perfect work. You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The crux of the matter always boils back down to patience and trusting God and waiting on Him. The promises, but you don't see it yet. We just talked briefly about Abraham this morning in Hebrews, where Abraham received the promises. God told him all the things he was going to do, but he waited for many years, even to see the beginning of those promises beginning to come to pass. He waited for many years, even to see little Isaac come and be born. He waited for years waiting. God said he's going to do this. The answer is yes, but not yet. The answer is yes. Okay, great. I'm gonna get ready. Well, get ready, but it's not yet. Hebrews 6:15, we read it. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he had patiently endured, it took years. And even then, he didn't see the fulfillment of all of those promises in his lifetime. He saw that they were coming. He knew God was faithful. He trusted God. He believed God. He set his faith on God. But he didn't even see the total fulfillment of the promises that God made, because some of the promises God made specifically regarded the coming Messiah that was going to come through his line. Some of the promises he made specifically regarded children like the sands of the sea. It started pretty slow. It goes Abraham, and then he has one little boy. Finally, at the end of his life, he has Isaac. And then he has, you know, Isaac has two little boys. Wow, we're really gaining some momentum. And Abraham's gone before the flood of children as the sands of the sea actually come to fruition. But the promise had been made. The answer was yes. But it wasn't for this moment. It was a delayed yes. It was a time of patience and perseverance and continuing on faithfully to live the life God wanted him to live and to be obedient. Looking towards and waiting for the fulfillment of that promise. Waiting for the fulfillment of that yes. And it goes all down through Scripture. We see Joseph's visions. You know, God gave Joseph understanding to see and to know that he's going to be ruler over at least his brothers and his mom and dad, right? But then he gets sold into slavery. Then he ends up sitting in prison for years. And for all this time, God said, yes, why is this happening to me? God said I was going to be a ruler. God said yes. But it's a yes that's delayed. It's a patient yes. It's a wait. Yes, I will do that. But wait, it's not now. The time isn't yet. We see Moses. He knew his purpose. He knew somehow. I don't know how. We aren't told how. But he knew that God had raised him up to deliver his people Israel. He knew that. And he starts stepping out to try to perform it early. Because, okay, I know what God wants me to do with my life. Let's do this. But yet, he ends up in the back of the desert for 40 years. He's 40 years old already when he says, all right, it's time. God, I know what God wants me to do with my life. It's time. I'm going to step up. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to start doing this work. And God's like, not yet. The answer is yes, but not yet. And he takes him out to the back of the desert for another 40 years. He's an 80-year-old man. He's like, God, if you're going to do this anytime, you know, Did you forget about me? Did you fall asleep? Did you forget that I don't live as long? I'm not an eternal being like you. Did you forget? No, God didn't forget. God was preparing him. God was preparing the children of Israel. God was doing, working behind the scenes in so, so many things. The answer is yes, but not yet. David, anointed to be king, how many years he's running around, escaping, fleeing for his life from Saul? The answer is yes, you're going to be king, absolutely. You are a man after my own heart. Well, then why am I running for my life from this imposter that you said isn't even supposed to be king anymore? Because the answer is yes, but not now. We see Jesus before he returned to heaven. He promises the Holy Spirit. He says, when I go back, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Now go wait. Now go wait. They went and they waited. They waited together in that upper room waiting. Was the answer yes? Absolutely. But not yet. Yes, the promise has been made. Yes, it is Christ's heart burning desire to send them the Holy Spirit. But yet, not yet. Go wait. Go wait. During that time of waiting, their hearts are being knit together. During that time of waiting, they're learning patience. During that time of waiting, they're proving their mettle, that they're actually going to stay there and not go, you know what? Jesus is gone. He said he's going to send us the Holy Spirit. I haven't felt anything yet. Have you felt anything yet? You know, I'm going to go back fishing again. That's what they did when Jesus went to the cross, right? So there's a track record of flaking out, of saying, you know what, I'm done waiting and going and doing my own thing. So now we see God almost intentionally waiting and putting them to the test to see, are you going to flake out again? Are you going to go fishing again? Are you going to say, okay, I'm done with this? I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Now wait. Now wait. The answer is yes, but you have to be patient. Hebrews 10, 35 through 37, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promises. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. You have need of patience, he says, because after you've done the will of God, you're still going to have to wait a while sometimes to receive the rewards of having done that will of God. It says, don't cast away your confidence. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. There's a great reward for trusting God and being patient and waiting on His timing. His promises will be fulfilled, and when they come, they will be glorious. And it will be all you could have ever dreamed of, but you have need of patience. Because after you've done the will of God, then later you're going to receive that promise. You're going to have to continue faithfully, patiently walking this way. And then you will receive the promise. Ultimately, the big promise we're waiting for is heaven, right? We're not going to receive that till this life is over. No matter how much you love God, you're not going to start enjoying heaven right now until this life is over. You're going to be faithful the rest of your life, and you're going to die faithful, and then you're going to begin to reap those promises, and they will be sweet. They will be more than your mind can comprehend, and it will be worth it. Absolutely, it will be worth it. But not yet. But not yet. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. It's going to happen. and he will not tarry. When it's time, believe me, he said, he will not tarry. When it's time, when God says, son, go get your bride, he's not going to say, okay, great. I'm going to finish this project and I'll go down next week. No, when it's time, when God says it's time, he will not tarry. He's going to come and those promises will be fulfilled and they will be glorious. They will be beautiful. But yet a little while, you have need of patience. You have need of patience because you've started out obeying God. You've started out walking this path. You've started out living a life for his honor and glory. And that's great. But you're not going to reap the benefits of that, all of the benefits anyway, right away. You can't plant a seed today and have a cob of corn tomorrow. It's going to take time. You have need of patience. Patience, endurance, continuing on, faithful. You're not going to be obedient one day and then say, okay, now I'm going to sit here and wait for my reward. Once I get my reward, then I'll start being faithful again. I'm going to just wait until then. No, that's not this kind of patience. This kind of patience is a kind of patience that continues on faithfully doing, saying, God, I thank you that the answer is yes, and I look forward to that time when all of your promises and all of your goodness will be fulfilled in all of its fullness, and I can't wait. But yet, I will wait. And I will faithfully, patiently follow on, knowing that, as Hebrews says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You have to believe it's going to be worth it. You have to believe that what he's promised will come to pass, or you will throw in the towel, because it is a long journey. It is a long way. You're not going to start out today and arrive tomorrow or next week or next month. You're going to start out today and you're going to walk. And you're going to labor. You're going to stumble and fall. You're going to get back up again by God's grace. You're going to continue on. And there is an expected end that I'm looking for and I'm waiting for, but it's at the end. It's later on. It's not yet. It's coming. God knows. He says, I know the thoughts I have for you. They're good thoughts. They're thoughts of peace. I have blessings. I just can't wait to show you all the lavish love, all the things that I've prepared for you. We're going to walk into heaven, and I think God's going to be like an excited parent on Christmas Day, like, open this present, open that present. I can't wait to see your face when you see what I made for you over here. I can't wait to see you enjoy all these good things that I've prepared for you. But it's not Christmas yet. It's not Christmas yet. We haven't reached the culmination of all the promises. We haven't reached the culmination of all the yeses. And we get parts of that as we go along the way. There are rewards that come our way as we walk this life of faithfulness. There are answers to prayer that come as we walk this way. But many times, even when the answer is yes, it's yes, but wait. I want to end looking at a few verses in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is a really special passage to me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 11. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. It's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen tomorrow. But humble yourselves that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him. This is a continuing process. Continuing to cast. This word casting isn't just a one-time deal. It's a continuing to do this. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. This is an ongoing reality in your life. Is he going to exalt me? Yeah, in due time. In due time, it's coming. It's coming. And it will be good, but not yet. And in the meantime, be sober, be vigilant. Because you have an adversary whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered for a while. This isn't today. After you've suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. It's a process, and it's coming, and it's happening step by step, piece by piece. But you may still be in this period of time of after you've suffered for a while. We may still be in that while. To a certain extent, we're going to still be in that while in various aspects of our lives until the day we stand before him. But in the process, he's making us perfect. He's establishing and strengthening and settling us. He's maturing us by the things he allows and brings in our lives. And then he just ends with verse 11. He says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's the king. He's the boss. I'm willing to trust him. To him be glory. To him be glory. If the answer came right this moment to every dream and every wish, you know, maybe to me would be the glory. But through that patience, through that humbling, through that growing and that maturing and that becoming strengthened and settled in my faith, by the time I've reached that end, to him be all the glory. And when I stand before him, it's going to be his grace that brought me through. Absolutely, 100% his grace. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And yet we're going to stand before him and he's going to say, well done. What love. What tenderness. But don't forget the patience of yes. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that our hearts would be settled and, Lord, be ready and willing to patiently wait for your fulfillment of your promises, all the good things you're bringing our way, all the answers to prayer that you are saying yes, but not yet. Lord, all the fulfillment of the eternal promises that we're looking forward to, all of the things, Father, that our hearts are waiting with bated breath to see our mighty, loving God perform. And yet we continue to wait. And Lord, help us to wait with patience. Help us to wait with determination, to wait with confidence. Lord, we have need of patience. I pray that you might help us, each one, to grow in that. That our hearts might yearn after you and reach out after you, not expecting that all of my dreams and hopes will be fulfilled today, but knowing that it will be worth it. Knowing that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. But diligence implies that it continues more than a moment, or a day, or a week. Father, help us to lean on you. Help us to be willing to be patient for your answers, for your promises, for all the good word, all the good thoughts you have towards us of peace and blessing. and to wait patiently for you, for your timing. In Jesus' name, amen.